Welcome to the Disrupt Education Podcast. I'm Peter Hostrasser, the host, the Unlearning Coach. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. If you don't mind hitting that subscribe button, passing this along, would like to thank the EdUp Experience Podcast Network. If you head over to the edupexperience.com, you can see everything about what's new in education all across the board. I'm a proud member of the EdUp Experience Podcast Network. Also, if you or your child is lost in school, maybe you did a year in college and you just don't know what you're doing, or you're at the end of your high school world or in the middle of your high school world and you just don't understand your skills and you really don't know how to build in public and everything just doesn't make sense to you and you're bored all the time or you're distracting yourself, or maybe this is your child, head over to unlearningcoach.com. I've got some cohorts for you there, some places where you can really set up your life and really dig deep right now, no matter what age you are. So if you or your child is in that situation, send them over to unlearningcoach.com and I will be glad to help you or your child out, and we can figure out their skill sets and start building value with them right now. On today's podcast, I have Jackie Evanetz, who is a teacher turned entrepreneur. She's using her years of experience in elementary and secondary education to create a peer network for students to direct and manage their own projects. Now, I gotta tell you, I've worked with this platform. It's called Spindle with two N's. And I gotta tell you, I love this platform. It is super easy to use. And the students actually own it and they give each other critiques, they comment. It's like a social network around their spaces in their projects that they own. It's super easy to check out and to look at. After this podcast, head over to Spindle, SPINNDLE.com to learn more. Jackie and I will unpack her learning journey and how she is changing education with this awesome platform that helps students work together on projects and manageable steps. Thank you so much for hanging out. We'll be back right after this. Are you an individual or business wanting to create an online course or training program, but are overwhelmed with the e-learning process and don't even know where to start? If so, you don't want to miss this free masterclass called Create and Launch a Successful E-Learning Program, Online Course, or Virtual Training, where you will learn the biggest mistake most people make with e-learning, the number one reason most e-learning programs fail, and the three pillars to create extraordinary value for your learners every time, and much more. Get instant access to the free masterclass right now by clicking on the link in the description. All you have to do is sign in and you will get instant access to this free masterclass right now. I recently asked Jake, who is a sophomore in high school, why he uses SpikeView to share his learning journey.
I think it's really cool that, you know, SpikeView is really putting that abstract into concrete data and knowledge and then displaying that to the outside world. And I think SpikeView is different than anything else out there. Like I said before, because it's really taking that, you know, those abstract skill sets and those abstract experiences and putting them into data that, you know, is actually mathematic and scientific and, you know, that matches you up with the best programs and, you know, best places for you. People, you know, who are really trying to make those changes in the world, and they're going to be using SpikeView because SpikeView is that app where you can, you know, take those experiences and take those passions and put them out there. And share with other people, and that's, you know, that's really powerful. And to that, you know, that professional networking piece, you know, to be with other like-minded teenagers, that puts you ahead. That puts you ahead in a lot of ways. And so, you know, I think anyone who uses SpikeView right now has a leg up in the future, and excited to see, you know, where those SpikeView alumni head up.
Head to SpikeView.com. Start your portfolio now for free. The Disrupt Education vlog can be found on YouTube. To hear it in podcast form, search Disrupt Education on any of the following podcast platforms: Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Breaker, CastBox, Overcast, Radio Public, Pocket Cast, Spotify, or Stitcher. Welcome to Disrupt Education. I'm Peter Hostrasser. Thank you all so much for being here. Don't forget to check out theunlearningcoach.com. I love to help people unlearn. I have a founder, technologist, just some crazy awesome things going on with project-based learning, having students own their work. We're going to unpack that. But Jackie, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Tell us a little bit. That was a very brief introduction. Tell us a little bit about who you are and what you're doing these days around education.
All right. Well, I'm Jacqueline Evanez. Thank you so much for having me, Peter. I'm a former teacher, K to 12. I taught the gamut, everything from grade 1 to grade 12. And now I'm the founder of Spindle. And what we do with Spindle is we help students grades 3 to 12 manage and navigate their real world projects. As a teacher turned entrepreneur, I'm using my years of experience to create a peer network for students. And I just, after spending years in the classroom, I've seen how transformative learning can be when students truly take the reins. So my mission is to support these teachers and the work they are doing to foster self-directed learners in their classrooms.
What type of student were you through your K through 12, K through 16, and beyond years?
So I always love learning. Even today as an entrepreneur, I consider myself a daily student. I'm taking notes, expanding my knowledge, but all for a purpose of applying it to something that matters to me, which brings me to why I really didn't care for school. I was always tasked with remote regurgitation, cookie cutter jobs in the classroom, and then labeled a B student at best. And that's just because I'm a creative soul. Like, I didn't fit the mold, I was bored. But all this, it just weighed on my confidence, my ability to even put myself out there and to try as a student. Like, the fear or anxiety that envelopes a grade is very real. It's a very real thing for a student. And when I look back now on that timid little girl, knowing what I know now about the skills that I have that are truly important in the modern workplace, the ones that actually make you a good student or a colleague or an employee, I would just tell my young self, like, let it go. The fear, the anxiety, and that school experience that I had was really just a hoop that I had to jump through to get to my real learning curve, which is what I'm experiencing now. And that experience as a student really fueled my career as a teacher, and also why I got into teaching in the first place was just to change that narrative for all my students.
This is going to be part of the story. I know it. There are these moments in the classroom. I have them. I know a lot of other educators have them where you're just like, what are we doing here? And there had to be this grind, this, I got to change this. And then there was a point of you hit the wall and you're like, all right, I'm done. I'm going out. Do you want to describe that journey a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, the grind was within the classroom with my 25 or whatever students, but it was also within the walls of the school itself and my staff. So I'll talk to both grinds. I'll start with the classroom. I always saw my value as a teacher was helping my students find and hone their value. And that's always the lens that I walked into the classroom with. And if I could, you know, wrap curriculum up in that somehow, that's what I did. But in order to do this style of learning, I had to personalize it for my kids, and it had to be owned by them. So, like, for example, like, one of the projects I ran in my grade 6 class was a financial literacy unit. So it was their first sale. Their job was to innovate a product or service that mattered to them, sell it, and then donate proceeds to a cause in their community that they cared about. It covered all the core content, math, ELA, social studies, etc. But, you know, you have Matt in one corner. He's designing an app that turns off your phone in social situations because he was really tired of his friends all being on their phones. Really bugged him. And then he has Mia over here, and she really loves doodling. And so she's like, I'm going to create a doodle how-to, you know, to help other students with their stress. These kids they're so capable. Like, when you see this, they're so capable. They're curious. They're highly motivated. And it's just because they care. They also know things you don't. And so when you run a project like this, you quickly see your role. You're like, okay, wait a minute. Like, I'm not just their teacher anymore. I'm their co-learner. You know, I have something to take away from this as well. And of course, the style of learning, I don't know what here in Canada, we call it inquiry-based, but I know there's all these buzzwords, PBL, STEAM, it's all student-led. It's all chaotic. That's the inside classroom challenge. It's chaotic. And so to be everyone's coach, you know, you don't have enough time in a day to do that. I had 25 students. I had to support them at every single step of their individualized projects, and I couldn't keep up. And there's so much talk. This is what takes me out of the classroom and into the staff room space. So, and it's also why I moved schools around. I moved to like 7 different schools within 7 years. Like, I was so restless and trying to spread, you know, the word of, hey, like, if you do this for your kids, this is what comes out of it. And it's absolutely amazing. But the talk is like, why this century's intended curriculum is actually not the implemented curriculum as a whole. And this criticism lands so heavily on the shoulders of teachers, and myself included. I could handle the chaos, but, you know, as teachers, we need to be kept in the loop by all of our students so we can personalize this learning. We can support each student's individual needs and still meet the requirements of this governing education system, right? And so for me, that B student who was bored, who is a little bit of a daredevil, the requirements of the governing education system weren't that important to me as valuing a student's value. And so I made a choice, right? I made a choice to say, hey, I'm going down this path and hopefully I can wrap it up in curriculum and, you know, get all the documentation and data I need to make a case for it. So I did put this intrinsic motivation, collaboration, and curiosity as the forefront of my teaching goals, always. And I did fall short in the documentation of their skills, their actual growth. I did. And I kind of felt like I lost. Every day I felt like, okay, I'm failing a little bit here in my job. And that leads to burnout. It just does, because you feel like, you know, you're maybe fully meeting your students' needs, but you're not, you know, you're not hitting the mark of your school. And I ended up designing my parent-teacher interviews and report cards around anecdotal notes, these forced digital portfolio entries, student conferences. It was super disjointed. I had very disjointed proof of what I wanted to assess for them. And it wasn't for a lack of work ethic or determination. It was just like a lack of time. I had these 25 students. They all had these meaningful interactions, 25 different processes to learn, of learning to document. And then you multiply that by different projects. So like, unless I clone myself, I just wasn't going to be successful. But then I circled back and I said, ultimately, I don't want to manage their process, and I shouldn't have to, and I shouldn't. I want them to manage it on their own. I want them to flex those like SEL, those self-monitoring skills themselves on the daily. And then that brought me to Spindle. That brought me to leave the classroom and take on a bigger challenge.
Yeah. The one thing that I heard you say that really relates to me, the big thing is, moving schools. I think a lot of teachers I'm in my 4th different school as well. I don't know how long I can do it, but I we're going to unpack Spindle in how it is actually disrupting education, because you're right. It's very, the reflections, and it's impossible for one person to do that, you know, with 25 students. So how do we figure this out? And I can't wait to reveal a little bit of what Spindle's doing and then have you conversate with that. When we all met and I took a look at it, I was just like, wow, Jackie, this is amazing. This is something that we were talking about, just getting out of the way of the student. I mean, you can attach the subjects in there, but you get out of the way of the students. There's passion projects. There's all the, it's projects, and the students own them. They self, you know, critique each other and help each other through this, and they own it, and it's placed somewhere. Let's go into Spindle. So how is it disrupting education? What is it, and what does it specifically do for educators and students?
I love that you just said you're getting out of the way of the student. It's just a great place. We always say, you know, it's a place for teachers to let go, but still be able to sit back and monitor and you know, help when they need to help. We always challenge teachers and say, you know, you're using an LMS. These kids don't need another system to be managed by their teacher, right? They don't. What we're doing with these LMSs is we're layering on top of this old school Turnitin submit to teacher assignment models that we already have in our classroom. For final submissions, yes, these LMSs make sense. They have their place. But for supporting student learning, like the actual learning, they are sending the complete wrong message. They say that learning is owned by the teacher and it's macro and it's finite and it's siloed. And it's just, that's the wrong message about learning. Learning is not a product, it is a process. And so Spindle was designed with 100 pilot teachers because these students, they need a digital space to help them manage their own learning. So if we give students a productivity tool where their role, their number one role, is to self-monitor, to stop, to reflect on their work at every step, and just for the purpose of informing their next step. And I think it was Dewey who said, like, we don't learn from experience, we learn from reflecting on experience. And so if we do this, if we give students a space to stop and reflect, because we often keep going and going and going in the classroom and we end up leaving that reflection piece way too late until the end of the project when it has no meaning. We can train students to become more independent learners. We can send them the right message about learning, that it's micro, that it's shared, and that it's continual. And so this is where Spindle comes in. And we say that we give students, or Spindle gives students, a safe place for students to practice. It's just to reflect, revise, and build on their work. It's a sandbox for learning. Students share their work to a peer feed at every step in their projects to get the feedback, insight, and inspiration that they need when they need it in order to move forward. And what our students are saying after piloting with, now we're in 16 schools and we're almost up to 500 teachers, is that Spindle helped them understand their learning progress, what they needed to work on, and what they did well. And we actually had a grade 4 student said, give us a quote saying, it helps me learn how to learn. And like, that is what it does in a nutshell. And it's fantastic that even a grade 4 could identify that. And according to Forbes, learnability is the number one skill needed to succeed in this workplace. So that's the way we need to go with education and with our systems. And then there's this other layer that, because Spindle's safe, students never lose ownership of their work. They're not submitting to be graded. Students are actually showing up. So one of our schools said during the pandemic, where work wasn't showing up anywhere, it was showing up on Spindle. Like, I think there's so much power in that, that, you know, if we have a product that's no longer asking our students to get in the teacher's corner, but we have a tool that allows the teachers to get into every student's corner, there's a lot of power in that. It may seem small when you go look at it, but once it's being used, like, you get it. The kids get it. The teachers get it. We're changing the narrative.
When you do get out of the way of the student and you learn from the student, you really see who that person is. And I'm glad you mentioned SEL in there, because there is SEL components to this. It's teaching the students how to become aware, self-aware, and understand, empathetic, and see what other people are doing as well. And it just becomes this non-aggressive ranking crazy system that we have. And it becomes a system where, you know, we're people, we're humans, we're all learning. And, you know, it's kind of like the cohort based, except it's an entire class. I wanted to kind of ask a little bit then into deeper, when does Spindle start? I mean, can you start it as a kindergarten, a third grader, a 10th grader? Obviously, you mentioned a fourth grader here. So I like earlier the better. So unpack, like, what does it look like in your experiences with these schools and educators at different levels?
Right. Well, I mean, my first job was grade one teacher. So ultimately, I'd love for it to go down to that grade level. We're not there yet as a company, but we do have two classrooms that are on as young as grade two. And the teachers have said it's been very successful, and actually got one of her students to teach it to the rest of the class. So she said the reason she loves it is it's not robust, it's accessible. My kids could jump on and start their project that day. It's so simple. Like, it's just, we're teachers, right? And so, like, if I have to, I'm actually not great with tech, surprisingly. don't read into that too much. But if I don't understand how a product works in 5 minutes, I am the one who's like, you know, the monkey at the keyboard slapping it and then throwing my computer against the wall. I have no So I'm like, this thing has to be super simple. It seems to work with grade 2 to 3 level. So we're excited about that.
Yeah.
There's so many silos in it. Yeah. And obviously we had this conversation pre-podcast a little bit about, you know, as a science educator, like, science is life. Like, you go through, I just remember going through all the projects, and you would go and you would review, and you know, something would be on fire, some bubble up or something. But that process, but there's also math, there's also English, there's also all these other things in there. Do you see Spindle as an opportunity to create a place to where we can start to break down? It's obviously in primary, there are not a lot of those walls. But when you start to get into like middle schools and high schools, talk to that point about breaking down some of these silos that just drive us nuts as educators, and I know it drives students nuts.
So we are actually piloting that this September. Very excited. There's two silos we're breaking down, actually. One is within the school walls, and that's just having teachers share a project we're piloting with a very innovative school that have already broken down these walls. And so it's how does Spindle support that in other schools and carry that model over to the more traditional schools, because it's easier to move around in a digital space than, you know, on the foot. So that's one thing we're doing. Four teachers working together, sharing a peer network on one project, so that, you know, grade fours are interacting with grade sevens even, and different subject materials in high school as well. So very cool. The one we're really excited about is we're breaking down school walls, and we have 21 classrooms, all from 6 different continents. And they're gonna be working on, in different pods or cohorts, on SDG related projects. And they can get the insight, inspiration, and strategies from, you know, kids across the world and see how they're improving in their communities and what they're working on. So we're excited to share the results of that. And then that's going to really inform Spindle's model in the coming months.
So many different levels, local, global, within a school, outside of a school. One of the things that I also saw a lot of is project-based learning and also project management. Understanding how people communicate on teams. You're hitting everything here on the platform. It's truly amazing. And I do, like, now I can really see a ginormous Spindle, and people can put whatever they want on it, right? Like, it can be different cultures of school. Do we want to go global? Do we want to just rebuild our community, which maybe some communities need? And just getting out of the way of the students. I absolutely love this. And I would encourage any of our listeners who are educators to check out. It's spindle.com. But tell us a little bit about how people can connect with the company, with you as individuals. And because this is so much of a disruption of education that we need to make things move forward. So, yeah, how can people connect and get some more information?
Definitely. So we just launched a few months ago, and we're still hungry to work and collaborate with teachers and schools on a more personal level. So if you are interested in, I don't like the word pilot, but if you're interested in partnering with us in some respect, definitely reach out to myself or even just to chat, you know, to talk shop, Jacqueline at spindle.com by email. And you can also reach out to us. If you go to www.spindle.com, you can reach out to us on our contact form. And if there's interest in your school or for yourself, Spindle has a freemium model. So you can sign up for yourself, check it out, move through it. And if you need any help, yeah, reach out to one of us as well.
Getting out of the way of students, helping students share their values, show their values, and just learn as a community rather than individuals is what Spindle's all about. Thank you all for listening. Until next time, we'll see you on Disrupt Education.